at 6 o'clock. Welcome to the Planning Commission meeting of Tuesday, October 2nd, 2018. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Martin?
Here.
Commissioner George is absent tonight. Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Here.
Commissioner Mack?
Here.
And Commissioner Shiro?
Here.
So please stand for the flag salute, please.
States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
We have a light agenda here this evening, but do any of my fellow commissioners have any interest in reviewing or revising the order on the agenda items here tonight?
No.
Very good. Next is a community comment period. Rather than go through my little ditty, there is no one sitting in the community public section here tonight, and so we're going to open and close the community comment period. Ask for any kind of written communications from the community that staff received since our receipt of the agenda. Hearing none, we'll proceed. We have one item on the consent agenda. It's the approval of the minutes. Ready to entertain a motion unless there are questions on the minutes.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
And Commissioner Martin?
Yes. Approval of the minutes pass. We have a single public hearing item on our agenda tonight, consideration of amended conditional use permit 18001, an upgrade and replacement of equipment and a shelter associated with an existing telecommunication facility at 1275 Ash Street, and the applicant is Verizon Wireless. We have a staff report, please.
Thank you, Chair Martin, members of the Commission. As you mentioned, this is consideration of amended conditional use permit 18-001. The project site is a portion of the Soto Sports Complex, as you can see on this image. It's adjacent to Porterfield, Porterfield being right here, and is zoned public facility. Its surrounding land uses largely include residential all the way around the project boundaries, as well as the city's corporation yard and then Elm Street Park over in this area. For a little bit of background about the project, the Planning Commission in 2002 approved Conditional Use Permit 01-011. This was for the installation of this telecommunication facility, which included a 70-foot replacement light standard and associated equipment with that telecommunication facility. Well, the project in front of you tonight is not touching the transmitting equipment, but is touching the support equipment. So the proposed project will install one new HVAC unit and replace the other two existing units for a total of three new HVAC units, install an outdoor generator, 80-kilowatt diesel generator with a 350-gallon fuel tank. The proposed project will install a new integrated load center. This is basically a fancy electrical panel that combines the electrical facilities and the telecommunications facilities into one, as well as upgrade the existing electrical panel to a 400-amp panel, and then replace all existing batteries with new batteries. Well, I tried on the next two slides, I tried to pick the simulations that would really highlight this expanded lease area and the visual impact associated with that from the public way. I was hoping it would show up a little bit better on the larger projectors, but I do have the photo simulations individually if we want to take a closer look at those. But as you can see in this area, particularly on this slide, this is the existing lease area for Verizon. And the new diesel generator would be located in a new enclosure right here. So, as I said, it's hard to see on that, but if you have any questions, we can take a look at that a little bit closer. So it'll be minimally seen from the public way. We've also conditioned the project to include the green mesh screening material to try and hide that a little bit more when you're actually on the fields watching sporting events, things like that. And then again, here's another attempt to highlight the visual impact. You can kind of see it slightly right here. But this is really kind of the focus of what the project is. So here's that new HVAC unit over on the right-hand side of the existing equipment enclosure and the two existing HVAC units that will be replaced. We're also over on this right side, the new generator and the 350-gallon fuel tank. And then I wanted to mention as well, for the original conditional use permit, a radio frequency report was, a compliance report was submitted. There were no frequency issues, and we haven't experienced any frequency crossovers or anything like that. And because it's the project in front of you is just dealing with the support equipment and not the actual telecommunication facility itself, the existing report is adequate. We don't need a new one for this project. Now, in terms of advisory committee reviews, the staff advisory committee reviewed this project on June 20th. They required several different things, one being the outdoor generator is conditioned to be a whisper style, so that's 70 decibels max, as well as replacing the existing green mesh screening material on their existing enclosure. So obviously that being in the wind gets tattered over time, so they're required to replace that and install new mesh screening material as well. They're also being required to refresh the bullpen area. So that is this area right here, which acts as the vehicular access to their telecommunication facility right there. So this is a special mix of dirt. It's called an infield mix, about 80 cubic yards of it or so. And that's to bring that area, which has been compacted over time, back up to the grade of the grass. Because right now it's a bit of a grade difference between the grass and that warning track and bullpen area. So we've run those conditions by the legal representatives at Verizon Wireless. They're in support of those conditions in front of you this evening. And the staff advisory committee did recommend approval of this project. In terms of environmental review, staff found that it's exempt per Section 15301 of the CEQA guidelines regarding existing facilities. And regarding public notification, we mailed public notices to all property owners within 300 feet of the entire Soda Sports Complex and Elm Street Park itself. We also posted the notice at the in the Tribune at City Hall and on the city's website and posted the agenda and staff report in accordance with the government code, and we haven't received a single comment on this project. And that's a whirlwind of the proposed project, and at this time we recommend that you adopt the prepared resolution, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that the commission has.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Downing. Are there questions of staff on this report? Mr. Mack?
Yes. So basically, it's been operating there for years. What's new is the fuel containment system, correct?
Correct. So it's the fuel containment system in the new HVAC unit.
Is there a covering on that as well? I guess my questions are going to stem around security. Do you have an issue with anyone hopping the fence, taking fuel?
So it will. Let me scroll down and zoom in as best I can. So there will be a cover. There will be a pitched roof to it as well, so it will be covered and fully enclosed.
Perfect.
And we've also, it's conditioned, but I didn't mention it, but it'll be sloped so that any foul balls that land on top of it will roll.
That was
right
one
off.
Of my next yeah. questions. Thank you. Okay, because we don't want to have kids jumping the fence yeah. and going in there and trying to retrieve a ball for Precisely. Whatever reason. So, no, that's fantastic. And that picture has answered all my questions right there. Thank you for zooming in on that.
I attempted to do that in the PowerPoint, but
projectors.
No further questions.
Very good. Mr. Shiro?
Yes. So I guess my biggest question is if Verizon is going to do this and they're going to recondition the warning track, is that enough dirt to cover – the entire warning track, because what you've done is created a situation where you're going to bring in infield fines, which right now our warning track is not infield fines. That goes around that whole entire thing, and there are elevation issues all the way around that. That goes all the way around the field, probably 12 inches difference. It's a good thing that not a lot of balls get hit to the fence, because we've deadened our bats, and now not too many home runs get hit. In fact, no home runs been hit since last year. But the problem is that when you recondition that and put infield fines in that one section, now you're going to have to go, unless you want to have it different colors, it's going to go all the way, that warning track goes all the way around the field. And now the league or somebody else, if they want to make it look right, is going to have to now come up with the infield fines for the rest of that, which we just put infield fines. We, being Five Cities Youth Baseball, just paid for infield fines for the infield to change, to upgrade that. So is that going to cover, how much is that going to cover?
Certainly. So we are somewhat limited in terms of how much we can require to be installed, given that we're really talking about their impact to the field. So what we're talking about is this, basically this whole vehicular
from
area
there,
to there. As I mentioned, it's about 80 cubic yards or so. So I do believe there will be some spreading and mixing. I can tell you it will likely not be going all the way around the entire warning track, but they will have to blend it in those areas.
Okay.
And I've spoken with the gentleman down at Public Works a couple of different times about this requirement, and their Shane Taylor, our utilities manager, his exact words were, tell them this is the world championship Babe Ruth baseball team. They better make this field look good.
That's right.
So we've relayed that to the representative from
Verizon. All right. Well, that's good enough for me then. All right. Thank you.
I just have one question, just basically on the history of it when it was first initiated. How come they didn't put it in the corporate yard? Why did they put it over in the sports complex?
Mostly due to site constraints, size constraints over the corporate yard. Let me see how best to get back there. At the corporation yard, we have a lot of things going on. So we take care of the fleet equipment. We have storage. We have fuel dispensing stations for the city fleets. We also have material yards and things like that where we store excess material. So really, we try and keep that area for city use only, and that's why these areas are kind of identified as the leasable areas for these types of facilities.
So who's getting the lease fee?
The city is.
The city's getting it, even though it's on the sports complex?
Yes, because we own the sports complex.
Is any portion of that money being dedicated to the Sotos complex?
It all goes into the general fund, is my understanding.
Interesting.
And I'd mentioned it in the staff report, and I didn't mention it in my presentation. The lease agreement, because the lease area is expanding, will be renegotiated, and that contract will go to the city council in the future.
I'd just like to see some of that money being utilized on the Sotos complex versus just going into a general fund, since we've cut or increased fees for the Parks and Recreation Department.
Is that within our purview for this or not? Not really.
Not necessarily in considering the amended conditional use permit. It could be a recommendation from the Planning Commission to the Council when they consider the expanded lease agreement. So if you'd like to include that as part of the motion. Yes.
I would be with you on that. One more question. If Soto was to be redone, and we've talked about there's money out there to look at the revamping of the Soto complex, and how would this affect that? Does this agreement make that part of the complex untouchable?
Not necessarily. So what you're referring to is the city's initiative to kind of master plan the entire Shelton Sports Complex.
Right.
It wouldn't necessarily preclude that. There would have to be some negotiation back and forth on where the new facilities get placed, what can be placed there, and that type of thing, but it doesn't necessarily preclude it.
Who would pay for the movement of it, that kind of thing? Because that, you know, the way that, to me, the one thing that I think you'd have multiple, you could bring multiple companies in with the way they master plan it is that the center of that complex would be your food and beverage, and you would have four diamonds that have a home plate that are close to each other that are moving out as opposed to what you have now. And so that would probably require the movement of that whole entire cellular complex to somewhere out.
Correct. And there's terms in the lease agreement that talk about if things need to be moved around and changed and the notification requirements, things like that. So, as I said, it doesn't preclude that type of thing from happening, but we would have to work. It would have to be a, kind of a cooperative, let's all work together to make sure this thing is successful.
I know the lease agreement is a council issue, but what's the time frame on their lease agreement? How many years?
They're ongoing. I do not believe this one has a necessary end date. It's kind of it's the standard termination notification procedures that are in the lease agreement.
Is it reviewed every year then?
No. It's typically reviewed if they want to modify something.
Okay.
So if we wanted to modify it, we would have to give them a notification of modification?
Correct.
Okay.
And whether it would be keep this facility ongoing while we're fixing one part of the complex and install a new facility there, turn that one on, turn this one off, and keep going, likely be some type of phasing like that.
And my expectation when you're talking about renewals and automatic renewals, that they're probably on a 3 or 5 year cycle rather than an annual cycle.
I believe so. Yeah.
So it's it would come up for, I'll say, automatic review here again on a 3 or 5 year cycle.
Yes.
I don't have any questions for staff at this point. I was curious about the noise factor of that generator, but looking at its location and assuming that 70 decibels is truly a whisper, you know, quality, and my expectation is it's probably not used very frequently. There's probably not a lot of alternatives to dampening any, making any other sound abatement requests or requirements on it.
Yeah, and I did, so it would be used in emergency situations if there was a power outage at the facility for general, the generators have to be run every now and again for just general maintenance purposes. I did look up how loud 70 decibels was, and it, of course, the internet, which can be trusted 100% of the time, said that 70 decibels is about a standard two-person conversation 3 feet apart, so any normal conversation would be about 70 decibels, so relatively minimal impact to the surrounding neighborhood.
Very good, thank you.
One more question. Is there a financial, how much is the lease? How much are they paying for this?
I don't remember what the current rate is, but it, obviously with the expanded lease area, that will go up, and that's negotiated between Verizon's legal counsel, our legal counsel, and then what the city council will approve.
Is that a public figure, or would you keep that private?
I do not.
Is that super secret?
I would have to check with the city attorney. I don't believe that it would be private information, so okay. Certainly. Yeah, I don't believe that's any kind of trade or industry secret information.
Thank you very much. The applicant is not here, so we don't have an opportunity to ask any additional questions of the applicant. And if there are no more questions or comments on this, I'll make this quick and easy. I will move to approve a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rio Grande approving amended conditional use permit 18-001 located at 1275 Ash Street, applied for by Verizon Wireless.
Can we have discussion?
After we have a second, assuming I get
a second.
Open to discussion, Mr. Shiro.
Could I, on the same lines as Ms. Fowler Payne's idea, I would like to recommend that the city at least consider taking some of that money and making up if there is an increase, which it sounds like there is. We don't know the number. That they would take some of that increase and put it into from the general fund into our city sports that are going to be that have already been hit with increases for this field.
Dedicate some of those funds to the Soto Sports Complex.
Just a recommendation. It's their prerogative, but
I'm happy to add that recommendation as one of the conditions on the resolution.
Okay.
A couple of points of clarification, if I may, real quick. So that would be, it would not be a condition of the resolution. It would be a recommendation along with the resolution.
Should that be handled as a separate item?
You can include it in the same motion. It just isn't, it would not be considered a condition of this approval. It's just a recommendation.
Correct. And certainly clear to me, I'm assuming it's clear to everybody sitting here, that there's a difference between a recommendation and a condition.
Correct.
So.
Right. And then one clarification, commented toward allocating some of these increased funds directed toward city sports or to the sports facility itself. Or do you want to make
directly to the maintenance of the fields?
Yeah. Go ahead.
When the students or the participants pay their fees to play, is that a part of this complex or is that just a part of the league? So do you want the money to go towards the league to reduce their fees?
A portion of those funds when the participants or the teams are paying fees into these activities or tournaments or whatever it is that they're participating in, certainly a portion of that is going to the city to cover the cost of maintenance or field prep or I'm going to say other expenses related to the ongoing maintenance of that. My personal preference would – I would like to see those funds dedicated to, I'm going to say, maintenance issues related to the Soto Sports Complex.
Which keeps it within the city's purview. I guess my thing is that right now, because of the fees that we've decided to increase, because of the cost of this field – each sport is going to have to charge is going to be almost not have to but encouraged to charge more for their particular sport. So that's almost a separate issue. The maintenance side of what the city has to do for this field is what they have to do for this field, and it's the same almost every year. So you're talking about the city side of the budget. We could do that, certainly, and recommend that. It doesn't necessarily help out the kids playing in these sports that are going to have to pay more money for the sport.
So dedicating it into, I'm going to say, as a reimbursement or as an investment.
As a reimbursement into the
Parks and Rec
department? Into the fees charged to the sports. That's that's a more direct way. I'm not necessarily saying it's right, but that's a more direct way to my concern is, yes, we have a big number that we have to meet for the maintenance of that field, but the kids also have a big number now to meet for paying for their sports.
Right.
So we have two separate issues there.
Right.
I'd like to see it paying for the sports. I know I was on girls softball for off and on for 18 years on the board, and as the fees increased, we had to raise funds to help those kids be able to play because there's a lot of them that can't afford it.
I'm co-concerned here because I know the financial side of the city and what they're dealing with, and I know that this would help their deficit for this field. But also, I'm also having to pay those fees myself, and having to deal with the leagues that have to pay them. They're two separate issues that are both concerns. So,
Yeah, for me, I'm not seeing the separation of those. Obviously, these leagues or, you know, these teams or whatever that are involved in using the facility are being charged. It just seems to me if the Park and Rec Department is saying we have X number of dollars to maintain the facilities and to provide services, and so we're going to need to charge, you know, split up X number of dollars to the various organizations, whether we say we want to invest Y dollars into reducing the fees or Y dollars into investing in maintenance. And it's two different ways of attacking the same problem, I guess.
I have an answer for that.
Fees.
Well, no, it's, and this is what we have to think about, is that so the city could take they could keep what they're charging the leagues the same, and now the deficit, because now they're going to get some more money thrown in specifically to the maintenance of the fields, so their deficit would be less, so that would certainly help the city out. But it doesn't necessarily help the kids out if the fees don't get reduced. That's the...
Very good. I understand. I think perhaps for clarification purposes and for us not getting too deep into the weeds in the financing of City Hall, my belief is we probably ought to word the recommendation that the City Council give specific consideration to reassigning or assigning or dedicating, you know, some of these part of the revenues received into the Park and Rec budget. And then I would strongly encourage my fellow commissioners to go and appeal informally with the City Council members before that meeting or formally during the council meeting in order to get whatever specific ideas or recommendations you may have on how those dollars should be allocated. I think that's probably a better use of their time than the use of our time at this point.
Agreed. I'd be happy to do that.
So, Mr. Holub, do you have an appropriate wording, you believe, for the recommendation between you and Mr. Downing? You can add that into the resolution.
I do. If you'd like, I can read it to you as well.
Why don't you read it back just so we're all crystal clear on what it is we're trying to do here tonight. Thank you.
So, apart from the motion on the resolution, this would be a recommendation to the City Council to give specific consideration to dedicating the additional revenue generated by this new lease into the Parks and Recreation budget.
Is that specific enough for our purposes here tonight?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, that's fine.
If that addresses the commission's, the will of the commission, then yes, it's clear enough for staff.
I don't want to get too deep into the financial weeds of the workings of either the public works department or trying to preempt the City Council. Anybody who's watching is going to certainly understand the sincerity and the intensity of the desire for this particular topic here.
I think it's a reasonable recommendation, especially if you're accessing going over.
Well, absolutely.
The pitching area, and we're having to bring in 80 cubic yards of material, and who knows if 20 more yards have to be brought in next year.
Yeah.
So I think it's a reasonable request.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Okay. May we have a roll call vote on this, please?
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
And Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Very good. This item passes 4-0. The next item on the agenda is non-public hearing items. We have none. Do you have anything to add or alter to that, Mr. Downing?
Not this evening.
And then the next one is a notice of any administrative decisions since September 4th. Is that a typo or is that not a typo? So we have 4 weeks of administrative decisions that we do not need to be noticed?
That is a typo. It should have been September 18th.
Very good. Thank you. I just noticed that as I'm reading through it this here tonight, but we have none in the last 2 weeks.
Correct.
The next item here is commission communications. Is there any correspondence or comments that my fellow commissioners would like to make at this point in time? Mr. Shiro, none. Mr. Mack?
None at this time.
Okay. Ms. Fowler Payne?
I do. I'd just like to thank the city staff for all the work and time that they put in at the Harvest Festival. Make it a success. It wasn't just outside workers. It was city employees that helped with all the events. So I want to thank them and thank you and everyone that put it together. That's it.
Very good.
That's all.
Thank you. Any staff communications?
Only a couple this evening. So, yes, thank you, Commissioner Fowler Payne, for mentioning the Harvest Festival. Successful Harvest Festival again this year. We commented internally that at least it wasn't hot like it was last year, where you could barely stand there because it was so hot. So very well attended this year. The movie in the park, again, was Ferdinand, so we had a good turnout of children and their families there, which was fun to see. And then from the planning side, we do have our new assistant planner in-house on board. His name's Andrew Perez. We acquired him from the city of Santa Barbara. We're very excited to have him on board. So part of your light agendas recently have been what one person can process at a time and get through onto an agenda. So now that we have him on board, we're starting to free up a little bit more of my personal time, and we can get back to doing more projects. So we do have several projects kind of scheduled out through the rest of this year. I've contacted you about your availability specifically in November, so stay tuned for that, and we'll keep moving forward.
Very good.
Got a question for staff. On the line for the Harvest Festival, I noticed, because I went over that footbridge, the swinging bridge, a few times going back and forth, and the Girl Scouts and the Cub Scouts, all the volunteers, they would only allow you to pass five at a time.
Correct.
So like five and then five and five. But I noticed we don't have a sign. Should we have a sign that says no more than five people on bridge on either side?
Didn't it used to be a sign?
There used to be a sign there, and I don't know what happened to the previous sign that we had. You think it got vandalized?
I do.
Yeah,
I'm thinking for our own protection in case, you know, 20 people get on that bridge someday.
Yeah,
that we should have a liability sign for us on each side.
Yeah.
And maybe a permanent situation that's casted in concrete or on a rock. Or
it can't be stolen.
Yeah, the previous sign was up on top of the bridge as you walk underneath it, so that you could visually see it. But I will bring that up to Public Works because I don't know what happened to that previous sign. And, yes, the capacity is, for everybody listening at home, the capacity is five people at one time, and that's for structural purposes.
Very well. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. With that, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
No tapping.